Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy connecting the light. My guest today is Dr. Bradley Nelson, who has been a chiropractic physician, craniopath, holistic healer and teacher for many years, and since 1998 he has been offering the special healing knowledge that he has gained through prayer, study and practice to other around the countries in his seminars. So I'm looking forward to an interesting program. Welcome to you, Dr. Bradley Nelson.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be here.
Right. I think what I would like to start off with is to ask you what it is in your background that makes you so successful with releasing people's baggage.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, the Emotion Code, the book, was written so that anyone could learn how to do this method. We have people all over the world who are learning this method by reading the book, maybe attending a seminar, listening to some of our materials online, and then they're using it themselves. And that really is the most exciting thing about this to me, is that it's really not about me. I keep telling people that. It's not about me. I really believe that I am the messenger, that it was my destiny to bring this knowledge into the world at this time. Everything that's happened to me in my life has prepared me for this mission, you might say, to bring this knowledge into the world. And so the most exciting thing about this is that anyone can learn it, anyone can do it. It isn't really about me. It's about all of us. It's about God's gift to the world. At a time when we really need it, a simple, easy way to find and release our emotional baggage. And I think that if we're going to get to the next level of civilization, if we're going to change this world from a world where we're living out of the brain that's in our heads to a world where everyone is living from the brain that's in their hearts, it's about the emotion code. The emotion code is a tool to help us do just that.
Yes. I've obviously read some information regarding your book, and it's extremely interesting. I guess I'm not surprised that it took quite a while to write it. Was it difficult?
Well, you know, it's not an easy thing to write about a complicated it's kind of a complicated subject. It's a deep subject in some ways, and to make a subject that's deep and that's complex simple so that anyone can understand it, that does take time. So it did take about 3 years to write this book, and it was about 5 years ago or so that I left my practice down in Southern California with the purpose of writing the book and getting the book out there and getting this knowledge out to the whole world, because I knew that it wasn't just for me. I knew that this knowledge had to go out, and that was really the purpose of it. And that's what's exciting now, is that the book is selling all over the world. We have people all over the world who are doing this work and who are having great results. It's very exciting, very, very rewarding and fulfilling. But I guess for your listeners who don't know anything about the emotion code, and that's probably most of them, I think maybe I should explain a little bit about this and what this is and how this really came about. As a holistic doctor, I spent the last 10 years in my practice working with people who had been told that there was no cure for them, people who were suffering from things like fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome and lupus and so on. Mm-hmm. Most of the people that I saw during those last 10 years were people who had been given up on by Western medicine, who were told that nothing could ever get them well. And I was able to get the vast majority of those people well, and we were able to help the vast majority of them, but there's no way that we could ever have done that without addressing the emotional issues that they were still carrying around. Basically, what happens to us is that when we're experiencing intense emotions, the energy of that emotion can become lodged in the body. And to understand how this works, it helps to talk a little bit about about the true nature of our reality. If you think about the body itself, what is the body? Well, it's really made of energy. If you look at your hand, and of course, you could pick that hand out of a lineup easily, right? You've seen that hand before many times, but if you were to magnify that hand 100 times, you couldn't pick it out of a lineup anymore. It would look like the surface of an alien planet, you know, with hills and valleys and so on. And if you magnify that hand about 850,000 times, you see that you're looking at the individual molecules, the strands of DNA and the molecules that make up the hand. If you zoom in a little more, about a million times magnification, you're looking at a single atom. You're face-to-face with a single atom. And if you look inside of that atom, you'll see that there's really nothing in there, just empty space with some little energies that are flitting around at the speed of light. And that's really what we are. We're energy. And so we know now that we can measure thoughts electronically and we can measure emotions as well. And when you are feeling an intense negative emotion of anger or depression or resentment or whatever it is, you're really feeling a vibrational energy. You're feeling a certain frequency. Your body is now vibrating at a different frequency than it was before. And it's during these moments when we're feeling these intense emotions that somehow the energy of that emotion can become lodged in the body or trapped. And we refer to these as trapped emotions. A trapped emotion is literally a ball of energy from about the size of a baseball to about the size of a cantaloupe. And wherever this ball of energy lodges in the body, it will distort the normal energy field in that area. And if you distort the normal energy field of the body, of course, you're really distorting the body itself. And so this is the reason why trapped emotions will cause physical symptoms for people. They'll cause pain and malfunction. They'll cause disturbances in the organs and in the metabolism and in hormone production. And they can cause arthritis and so on. They also, though, have another effect, and that is the effect that they have on our mental and emotional makeup. In other words, and it took me a long time to figure this out. At first, I couldn't understand this because I was releasing these trapped emotions purely for the physical effect. People would come into me and they would have some kind of pain in a specific area. We would find that there was a trapped emotion there and release the emotional energy that takes that distortion away from the body's energy field. And many times people have an immediate relief of their pain or discomfort. But it didn't take long before people started coming back to me and saying things like, you know, I don't feel that resentment I used to feel anymore. You release that emotion of resentment from me and I don't have the pain anymore, but I also don't feel as resentful anymore. Or people would say, you know, I used to have a hair trigger temper. I don't feel that anymore. Or people would say, you know, I was really, really depressed, and now that's lifted from me. I feel like a weight's been taken off. And I didn't really understand at first for a while how that was possible, what was really going on. Now I realize that when you have a trapped emotion, and by the way, everyone has trapped emotions, when you have a trapped emotion, that little area, that little ball of energy, is actually continuing to vibrate at that frequency of that emotion, whatever it was, anger, resentment, depression, sorrow, sadness, whatever, grief. And the tissues that are within that little ball of energy, I believe, are literally vibrating at that frequency too all the time. So in other words, those tissues in that little ball of energy in the body, they're literally feeling that emotion all the time. And it's a funny thing, but it explains how this works. In other words, let's say that 20 years ago you're having an argument with somebody and you're feeling very angry, and suddenly a trapped emotion gets developed or stuck in the body. And let's say that trapped emotion happens to lodge in your right shoulder. Well, now you may have a right shoulder problem, because the tissues in that area have been continually distorted by this ball of energy, this anger. But you also now are a more angry person than you otherwise would be, because when a situation arises in your life where you could become angry, you will become angry much more readily than you otherwise would. Why? Because part of your body is already angry in a way, in a strange kind of way. Part of your body is already vibrating at that frequency. And feeling emotions is really just changing our our vibrational frequency to match the frequency of that emotion. So when we clear an emotion, when we release an emotion like that, it explains how people can change and how that that particular vibrational resonance that was in their body that was vibrating at that that level of anger or whatever it was, now that's gone, and so people can immediately feel different, and it can change dramatically, dramatically for people. And I've seen it over and over and over, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of times. So yes. Not only can pain go away, oftentimes just instantly, but also depression. We've seen people suicidally depressed get well in just a matter of days. We've seen people who could not fall in love, who could not seem to find a mate, who could not seem to succeed in life, people who could not seem to overcome these recurring emotions. And when we release the trapped emotions from them, suddenly they are set free. And so it's a very exciting thing, and hopefully that gives a little bit of a picture into what these things are.
Yes. Well, I think that's a fantastic explanation. Would you generally say that what people experience comes out of stress, this sort of trapped emotion?
Well, of course, stress in general is what opens the door to all illness, I think, really. But what I found in practice was that there were six major ways that six major kinds of imbalance that cause us to lose our health. And as a holistic doctor, you see, when you're a holistic doctor, you don't have drugs that you can use to suppress people's symptoms. You have to figure out what's really going on. In other words, if a person is sick, you have to figure out what's really creating this disease. In other words, what's making these symptoms manifest. And what I found is that there are six different ways, six different kinds of imbalances that cause us to lose our health. And just real quickly, those are pathogens, things like infections, parasites, bacterial, viral, fungal infections that get into the body. That's one kind of imbalance. Another kind of imbalance is structural imbalances, where we end up with misalignments of bones or of organs and things, and that creates, because function follows structure, that can create illness. Another kind of imbalance is nutritional, of course. I think a lot of people are aware of that. If our pH is off, if we're missing certain vitamins or minerals and so on, we can be sick. Another kind of imbalance has to do with the circuitry of the body, the organs, the glands, the chakras, the meridians in the body. If those are imbalanced, you've got trouble. And another huge kind of imbalance is toxicity. Of course, we live in a very toxic world now, and so I would end up having to work on all of these things with many of my patients. But the last piece of the puzzle is really emotional. And that was where most people had most of their problems. And trapped emotions, you see, will interfere with the body's ability to eliminate toxins, for example. They'll interfere with the abilities of the body to function, to fight off infections and things. They will actually create structural imbalances. They will lead to or help to promote nutritional deficiencies and imbalances. Depending on where a trapped emotion lodges, it will distort the body's energy field. Now, Mike, think about this, okay? The energy field of the body is really what the body is. The body is nothing but energy. And we're in an age now where we're starting to understand that. But think about this. The most common kind of imbalance, the most common thing that imbalances that body energy field is what? It's trapped emotions. It is the emotional experiences that we've been through. It's the divorce that you went through 20 years ago. It's the bankruptcy that you went through. It's the abuse that you took as a child. It was the hazing or the bullying that you went through. It was, just those events that we go through that leave us with this emotional baggage. And believe me, these trapped emotions will make their presence known somehow. It's a fascinating thing, but the way I look at it is each trapped emotion that a person has will try to make its presence felt some way, either by creating some kind of physical malfunction or pain and or creating some kind of self-sabotage or the perpetual feeling of that emotion continually coming up to you, that resentment or sadness or whatever it is, continually being felt. Or the emotion will create some more serious disease. It will manifest as cancer or some other disease. You know, the people that I've treated over the years, of course, I've treated a number of people with cancer, and we always found with all those people that there were trapped emotions that seemed to be in those malignant tissues. Now, my own opinion is that trapped emotions are probably the single biggest cause of cancer. You're probably familiar with the German New Medicine, and they've got tens of thousands of documented cases now where they're tracing cancer back to some traumatic emotional event. And of course, I think that they're absolutely right. The certainly bears out what we're finding. And of course, the Western medical approach to cancer is, you know, of course, it's drugs and it's surgery and so on. But there's a much more gentle way to work with cancer, in my opinion. And I don't ever tell anybody that I treat cancer. I don't make any kind of claims that we cure cancer or anything like that. But the Emotion Code book was written so that anybody could pick the book up, they could read the book, and they can start releasing their own emotions. And that's an exciting thing to me, is that this book is really intended for the masses. It's for everybody and anybody, and anyone can learn it.
Right. Now, clearly we do need to have emotions. So what you're really saying, I guess, is that we get rid of our baggage, but we have to learn to control our emotions to prevent making more or it returning.
Well, that's true, and that's why the last chapter in the book is entitled Life Without Trapped Emotions. Mm. You know, one of the things that I think we need to realize is that no matter what the situation is, we always do choose emotions. We choose the emotions that we experience. We choose to feel a certain way. You know, the common thing that people often say is, oh, he made me so mad, or that made me so upset. But see, the reality is nobody can make you feel anything. You choose to feel the way that you feel. And so my wife and I, for example, we try to practice this when something comes up. For example, when one of our children does something that we don't agree with, for example, we'll often choose the emotion of curiosity. Instead of getting upset, we'll try to choose a different emotion, like love or forgiveness or acceptance or curiosity is one we end up choosing a lot, you know. And she'll ask me, well, how long do you think this is going to go on? Do you? And I'll say, I don't know. How long do you think this is going to go on? We'll try to be curious about it instead of getting angry.
Oh, dear.
So. We've had a lot of practice. We have 7 kids, so.
Oh, gracious, yes. Well, you're well-versed in bringing children up, evidently. But how do we balance our bodies in as much as how do we know when they are out of balance? Although I guess you'll say you have been explaining how it causes physical imbalances. Tell us a little bit more about that, about balancing the bodies.
Well, you mean as far as releasing the trapped emotions?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, yes, the process is actually very simple, and it relies on the capability of the subconscious mind to respond to positive or negative input. And the simplest way that I can explain this is if you think about a plant will respond to positive or negative input. If you put a plant near a window and you come back a couple of months later, you'll notice that the plant has grown towards the light, towards the window, because that's a positive source of nourishment for it. If you take a dropper full of poison and you drop a drop of poison into an aquarium full of fish, the fish will immediately sense that poison and they'll swim away towards cleaner water. And the human body has this same ability built right into it. It will respond to positive or negative input. And so we teach a number of different methods of getting information from the subconscious mind in the book, because the subconscious mind is 90% of who we are. It's 90% of our intelligence, and it is tuned in to the intelligence of the universe, to the database of all that is. And that's very exciting because what that means is that each of us is linked into this vast, unlimited database of genius that exists. And so how do we get information out of the subconscious mind? That's the big question. Because consciously, people don't know. People don't know why they're sick. People don't know if they have trapped emotions. They know very little consciously, believe me. But the subconscious mind knows exactly what's going on. Every face you've ever seen in a crowd, everything you've ever eaten or tasted or touched or smelled, all that information, the whole history of every cell, I believe, in your body, down to the atomic level, I believe, is all logged away in that archiving computer of yours, that holographic computer that is the subconscious mind. So how do we tap into that? Well, how we tap into it is through a number of different methods of muscle testing. One of the simplest methods that we use, the first one that we teach in the book, is called the sway test. And let me just walk you through this real quickly for those people who are listening in, and you'll find that this works for you. It's very simple. First of all, if you just stand up straight and drop your arms down to your sides and just completely relax there for a moment, the first thing that you'll notice is as you're standing there, just relaxing, is that it's impossible to stand perfectly still. There's always a little bit of movement. You may sway a little bit to the left or right or backwards or forwards, and that's normal. The body may oscillate just a little. That's the postural muscles that are working to keep your body standing upright. But now, if you actually hold a certain thought in your mind, you will notice that your body will sway forward towards that thought if it's a positive thought, or the body will sway backwards away from that thought if it's a negative thought. In the same way that a plant will grow or sway towards the light coming in from the window, or the fish will swim away from the poison in the water, same thing. So close your eyes now and just stand there and relax completely. And let's imagine now that it's a million years from now. It's a million years into the future. You're still alive. You have progressed now to a point where you have become a vessel of pure, unconditional love. And that unconditional love from God, from the universe, flows into you and flows out through your heart and fills the immensity of space. Imagine that that's who you have become. You've become this incredibly powerful instrument of pure, unconditional love. Now just imagine what that would feel like. Imagine what that would feel like to be a vessel of unconditional love. Imagine that love radiating out from your heart fills the immensity of space. And imagine that you know now what it is like also to be loved unconditionally. Unconditional love is about the most powerful force that I can think of and most powerful force in the universe. And if you hold that thought in your heart, if you really imagine what that would be like to be a vessel of unconditional love, you'll feel your body start to sway forward towards that sheer positivity of that thought. Now, on the other hand, let's try thinking about something negative. And about the most negative thing I can think of is war. If you think about war for a moment, you think of all the wars that have been fought, all the destruction of life and property, all the broken homes, all the damaged and crippled people, all the people who have been killed in wars, and all the bad, horrible things that happen in wars. If you hold that thought in your mind for a moment, you just hold that thought, you think about war and all the negativity, it won't take long, and your body will suddenly start to sway backwards in recoil, as it recoils away from that thought, that negative thought of war. Now, if you're listening in on the radio and you're actually trying this, I think that about 99% of the time, this works for people. If it doesn't work, if you're in that 1%, it means that you just need to let go and get out of your own way. You need to let your subconscious mind speak to you, and it will if you just relax. This is one of the simplest ways of getting information from the subconscious mind. Now, what you can do is you can simply ask your subconscious mind, just ask yourself, do I have a trapped emotion? You can ask that verbally or non-verbally. Do I have a trapped emotion? And if you hold that thought in your mind, what will happen is your body will generally start to sway forward, since everybody has trapped emotions. And then that we would interpret as a yes answer. And so in the book, The Emotion Code, we have a very simple process, a very simple method of asking questions in a very precise, very logical, very simple sort of way, where we identify the emotion in a very very rapid manner. We can figure out what the emotion was, and then the emotions are released once they're brought to conscious awareness. Then the emotion is able to be released by using a magnet. Now, we chose magnets because it was, of course, using magnets that we actually discovered this. But we have found that any kind of magnet works. We do recommend the magnets that are made by Niken, which is the world's largest wellness company. And they've got a whole line of different magnets that are designed specifically for healing. But we have tested all kinds of magnets. And believe it or not, you can actually even use a refrigerator magnet to release an emotion once that emotion has been brought to the surface. So there's no real block for anybody to be able to do this. Refrigerator magnets are pretty ubiquitous. They're available everywhere. So so that gives an idea. Now, when we use the magnet, when the emotion is ready to be released, we simply take the magnet. And if you're working on yourself alone, you would take that magnet and just go from your forehead over the top of your head to the back of your neck 3 times. And that releases that emotional energy. And what we're doing there is we're putting that energy into what we call the governing meridian, which is the meridian that runs from the upper lip over the top of the head all the way back down to the tailbone. And by putting that energy into that meridian, that energy flows into the body, into all the other meridians of the body, and it releases that emotion instantly. And the best example that I can give you for this is if you take a credit card, and it's a credit card that's working, if you take a magnet and you rub that magnet on the back of that credit card, on the magnetic strip, that will suddenly become a credit card that is no longer working because you've erased the data that it contains. And that's kind of how it is with trapped emotions. It's a simple process. You just use a magnet 3 times, and that data that was there is no longer there anymore. It's just simply gone. So,
I think the moral there is don't keep magnets next to your credit cards in your pocket then.
That's exactly right.
Now, when you talk of the subconscious mind, is it the subconscious mind that talks to you when you talk of your intuition?
Well, you know, I think so, yes. I think that one of the things we talk about in the book is how muscle testing acts as, it acts like training wheels for your intuition. In other words, most people who do this work find out pretty quickly that when they're just on the verge of getting an answer, they're working on someone, for example, and they're doing some muscle testing and they're asking questions, the moment before they get that answer in muscle testing, that answer will flow into their mind, and they will know what the answer is going to be a split second or two before they actually get the answer through testing. And that's intuition. So I've often said that muscle testing is like training wheels for your intuition, because the more you do the muscle testing, the more you will have that experience, until you get to a point where you can do this work without muscle testing, because you can just operate on intuition and the answers will just kind of flow in. My own belief is that that energy is filling the universe. The information, I believe that we are like fish swimming in a sea of information. There's information all around us. You know, we like to think that the thoughts that we think stay in our own heads and are private. I believe that the opposite is true. I think that the thoughts that we think instantly radiate out from us and fill the immensity of space. And so it's one of the reasons why we can do this work at a distance. One of the exciting things that we teach in the Emotion Code is how you can actually release trapped emotions on somebody, and they can be on the other side of the planet, or they can be in the next town over, or anywhere. It doesn't make any difference. And we teach a very concrete, very easy way to actually do that. And we have people doing that all over now. So very exciting. And it works just as well, if you're with someone and they're in the room with you, or if they're 1,000 or 10,000 miles away, it works exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference. The body has this unique ability built right into it to set aside its own needs temporarily to act on behalf of another person. And we call that the principle of proxy. The body can set aside its own needs. And it's very exciting. But really, the most exciting thing about the emotion code has to do with the heart.
Yes.
And what's going on with the heart. You know, the heart has been talked about for thousands of years as being the seat of the soul, and there are ancient scriptures that say things like, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And we've always thought that that was poetic license. You know, how do you think with your heart? It doesn't really make sense. Another one is, God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but he looks on the heart. Well, it wasn't too long ago that a new device was created, a new medical device that measures the magnetic field of the heart instead of the electrical field. Now, of course, we've had the electrocardiogram machine, which measures the electrical field of the heart. We've had that for over 100 years now. That was developed back in around 1895, believe it or not. And around that same time, we developed a machine that could measure the electrical waves of the brain, too, the electroencephalogram. But now we have new machines. Now we're in the 21st century, and we've got machines that will measure the magnetic field of the heart. That machine is called a magnetocardiogram. And what they have found in experiments with this device is that the heart puts out a magnetic field that's about 12 feet in diameter. And what they have found is that that magnetic field is like a donut. It inverts on itself, and this energy comes out and then comes back in, and it's really quite amazing. They've also found that when you are feeling love or affection for another person, your heart waves become measurable in their brain waves. And that's pretty amazing.
Hmm.
You think about that for a minute.
Well, yes, indeed. I suppose anyone who's experienced a relationship on that level will tell you that they feel the other person's love for them, and I suppose this is what you're explaining.
I think so. I think that that's exactly what they have discovered. Well, we know now that the heart is actually a second brain. It was back in the 1970s they discovered that the heart is full of nervous system tissue, and that led to the creation of a whole new science called neurocardiology. The heart's full of gray matter and white matter. It's much, much more than just a pump. In fact, it puts out up to 5,000 times more magnetic energy than the brain that's in our heads. Some other amazing things about the heart, you know, we've had the ability to transplant hearts now for quite a few decades. One of the things that we have found is that we're collecting thousands of stories now from people who have gotten a heart transplant and who have inherited more than just the heart. They've actually inherited the affinities of the donor. They've inherited memories from the donor.
Oh, yes.
You know, one of my favorite stories is a woman who got a heart transplant who her friends came into the recovery room after her surgery was over, and they said, "Hey, you got your new heart. When you get out of the hospital, what do you want to do?" And she said, "Well, I'd kill for a beer." And they were aghast because she didn't drink. And then after that, she craved green peppers and beer. And she never liked beer or green peppers before, but now she couldn't get enough of them. And and when she would go to certain towns, certain places that she'd never been to before, she would have these memories of being there, even though she'd never been there. And it was a very strange thing, very disconcerting. Right. She went back to the hospital and found out that the young man whose heart she had received was a motorcyclist, and he had been killed riding his motorcycle. And, of course, as you might expect, he craved green peppers and drank beer, and had been to all the places that she had been to. And so those memories were in the heart. In fact, there's a story about a young woman who received a heart from another young woman who had been murdered, and the story is that there was enough memory in that heart that was transplanted that she was able to help the police solve the murder.
Incredible.
It really is. You know, there was another story here in the U.S. that made big news about a year ago, I think it was. There was a man who got a heart from another a younger man who had killed himself. He committed suicide. He shot himself in the head. I think he was around 30. This man was about 58 years old. And after he got the heart transplant, he felt so much better. He was so grateful. He opened up a correspondence with the widow of the donor. And for about 2 years, they exchanged letters back and forth. The first time that he saw her, he said, "I could not take my eyes off of her. From the moment I saw her, it was like I had known her all my life." And this was so strong, they actually ended up getting married, even though there was about a 20 or 25-year age gap. They stayed married for, I think, about 8 or 9 years, and why this made national news was because after that length of time, he actually killed himself. He shot himself in the head, just like the donor.
Mm. Oh, wow.
You know, a neighbor of ours had a heart surgery and a heart transplant. And after he got out of the hospital, his car seemed to automatically go to Starbucks. And he would go in, and he would order the same drink every time. It was, it was like a double decaf hazelnut drink. And he never used to go there, never used to like it. Now he finds he can't get through a day without buying this particular drink. Well, he went back to the hospital and was able to connect up with the family of the woman whose heart he received and found out that, sure enough, that was her favorite addiction. And, so there are just some very interesting things about the heart. And we know now that the heart is really a second brain. It thinks it has memory. And what happened to me was in 1998, I was scheduled to speak at a conference on magnetic healing in Portland, Oregon. My wife woke me up early this morning at this conference, and she told me that she'd had a dream. And as we were trying to interpret her dream, which she knew had something to do with her health, I suddenly had what I can only describe to you as a waking vision, where suddenly in front of me, before my eyes, I saw this beautiful hardwood floor. And it was very, very clear. It was not anything that I was imagining. This was coming from somewhere else. And I was seeing this beautiful hardwood floor, and it was very clear, but at the same time that I'm seeing this, I have this understanding also in my mind that my wife's heart is underneath this floor. And
oh, wow.
I have absolutely no idea what this means. I told her what I was seeing and what I was understanding, and we prayed for help and started doing some testing and figuring out what was going on. And it took us a while. We finally figured out that she had grown up in a home where her father was a rageaholic, and he didn't drink, but he had that kind of behavior. And so the children all were walking on eggshells constantly. Nobody knew when Dad might blow up or get upset and yell and scream. And so she had felt those feelings of heartache or heartbreak at an early age. And what had happened was her subconscious mind had put up a wall around her heart. And that wall, the symbolic material for this wall, the symbolic material that was chosen by her subconscious mind was wood, hardwood, because she grew up in a house with hardwood floors. Mm-hmm. So what had happened with her was her heart was really kind of walled off throughout her life. And the result of it was that she always felt kind of numb to emotions. She always felt like she was on the outside of any group that she was ever involved with. She always felt like she was on the outside looking in instead of being on the inside looking out. It took us 2 weeks of work to release the emotions that were making up this wall. And as we cleared these emotions, finally we cleared the very last one. And at that point, she suddenly had a transformation that occurred, because suddenly she felt like she was on the inside looking out in every social group now that she was in. Suddenly she could feel more. Suddenly she was able to connect better, to feel more love, to feel more emotions. It was quite an amazing thing. Well, early on, we thought maybe she was the only person that had one of these, what we now call a heart wall.
Yeah.
It turns out that about 93% of people, apparently, in the world have a wall. Now, if you think about it, everybody has experienced that feeling of heartache or heartbreak. We've all had some event in our life that we can think back on, probably, where we have felt that feeling. And that's where those words heartache and heartbreak come from. And that feeling is, and those words are to be found in every society on Earth that we've been able to locate so far. Everybody knows about this. Everybody has those feelings. Well, I believe the heart is really the core of your being, the seat of the soul. I believe it's the seat of the subconscious, the core of who you are, the seat of all your creativity, and the seat of your source of all of your love and everything else. Well, when you feel that intense negative emotion that creates that feeling of heartache, your being just absolutely does not like that at all. And so what it will do oftentimes is it will try to put up a wall around the heart. Now, the subconscious mind knows, I believe, intuitively and innately, that everything in the universe, the chair that you're sitting in, you know, the house that you're sitting in, the sun, moon, and stars, everything is made of energy. And so when it needs to put up a wall around that heart, it looks in the body to see if there are any excess energies lying around. And what does it find? The most common kind of excess energy lying around or sitting around in the body is trapped emotion. So it takes those emotional energies and it fashions a wall out of them. And when it does that, it kind of blocks you from being able to create. It blocks you, interferes with your ability to fall in love and stay in love and so on. And one of the most perfect examples of this that I saw was a nurse who came to see me. She was 38 years old. And she came to me because she had neck problems that no one could seem to fix. She'd seen four or five different doctors. And as I was talking with her, she told me that she was celibate. She was very attractive, 38 years old, had not dated in 8 years. And I said, why is that? She said she was planning on being single the rest of her life. And she told me that the reason why was because 8 years before, she was very deeply involved with this guy in a relationship, and he dumped her and really broke her heart and really hurt her. And so that was it for her. Well, as you might imagine, we found that she had a wall of emotions, a heart wall around her heart. And the purpose of that, of course, is to try to protect that heart from being hurt anymore. But the price you pay is isolation, and oftentimes the price you pay is being alone. And that's what was happening with her. Well, there were three emotions that we found and released in short order that were making up this wall. Probably took 10 minutes. And coincidentally, her neck pain went away when we released those emotions. And so 3 months later, I didn't see her again for 3 months. She comes back in 3 months later, and I said, hey, how are you doing? What's happening? And she said, oh, she said, my neck's been fine since I was here, but she said, you know, you cleared that heart wall from me. And she said, that really works because about 2 weeks after I was here, I found out that my childhood sweetheart has been living right around the corner from me for almost 8 years. And we're in love, and we're dating, and I think he's going to ask me to marry him. Now, if you think about that, why could she not have run into him sooner? Well, because she had a wall up, see? And so she was not open to that. She, her heart was not, it wasn't going to go there. It wasn't going to accept anything like that. No more relationships. It was all done. So for 8 years, he was right around the corner, and she never even ran into him once until that heart wall was removed, see? So
that's a I was going to say that's a wonderful example. Time is absolutely racing by, Dr. Bradley, and one experience of yours that I would like you to tell our listeners is about Jessica, who you met when you were in Las Vegas.
Oh, yes, yes. This is a great story. I was in Las Vegas doing a workshop, and there was a young woman who came up out of the audience, and I asked her if she had any kind of problems that she knew of, and she said no. And so I started to ask her body some questions through muscle testing, and we found that she had a trapped emotion. And the emotion, as I recall, was forlorn, which is feeling hopeless and lonely and helpless. And we traced it back, and it went back to about age one. And I asked her if she knew anything about that or had any idea what that could be about, and she said no. And at that point, I looked out at the audience, And her mother was sitting with her, and I had met them before this thing started. And I looked out, and her mother was as white as a sheet. And she had her hands kind of covering her mouth. Yeah. And I said, do you know anything about this? And she said that she was very embarrassed, but she said that at that time, she used to use cloth diapers. And one day, she accidentally pinned her daughter to the diaper. Yes, with a safety pin. Uh-huh. And she didn't know about it until she changed her the next time. And I guess she'd never told her daughter about this, but, you know, she'd kind of forgotten about it and put it behind her. But it was a traumatic experience for her in a way. Well, we released that trapped emotion, and that's exactly what, of course, created that emotion. And then she went back and sat down. And I didn't think anything about it. In fact, I'd kind of forgotten about it. But about 10 days later, I got an email from this girl's mother. And she said, my daughter did not tell you, but she has had a problem with her hip and with her knee. It's been going on now for a number of years, and it's been gradually getting worse, and nobody's been able to figure out what's causing it. And that's been affecting the way she walks and everything else. But she said, from the moment that you released that trapped emotion, that's been completely gone. And not only that, but she said, my daughter has this new feeling of freedom that she's just so excited. She's telling everybody about this. And so there's an example of how a trapped emotion can occur at a very young age, and you may have no conscious knowledge of it at all. In fact, that's one of the beautiful things about the emotion code, is that we can find trapped emotional energies that you have no conscious knowledge of. In fact, a lot of the time we find emotions that have been inherited from your mother or your father, and sometimes they go back for generations. In fact, I'll tell you one more quick story. My daughter was working with me, and she was working on me at a distance, and she found that I had an inherited emotion of hopelessness. And as soon as she found this, she started to feel very emotional and started to cry. And as she tested this and traced it back, it went back further and further. It finally ended up going back about 22 generations. I had inherited this from a woman 22 generations back. Now, believe it or not, my daughter suddenly at that moment was able to feel the presence of this woman suddenly right there with her. This female spirit was right there in the room with her, and she could feel, my daughter could feel how desperately this woman wanted that emotion released from her posterity. That's what she had passed on to her posterity, was this feeling of hopelessness. And so my daughter was able to release that. And to this day, she can't talk about this without crying. It's a very emotional experience for her, very, very, very sacred kind of experience. Well, when she released that emotion, what I noticed on the other end was that suddenly this background feeling of hopelessness that I had had all my life was suddenly gone. And I never even knew that it was there. But when it suddenly was gone, I was able to recognize it for what it was, because suddenly it was gone. It's kind of like if you live next door to a factory that's running 24/7, you know, for years and years, and it suddenly shuts down, the silence is deafening. That's kind of what it was like for me. So we've got more and more experiences all the time that people are having, releasing inherited emotions. In fact, the emotion code is the absolute best method, I believe, that's available in the world to break the cycles of generational violence and abuse that go on, you know, from one generation to another. We have many, many people now who are coming to the emotion code, and their purpose, I believe, is to break those chains in their own families. It's a very exciting thing. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Bradley, we have about 5 minutes of the program left. I like to use the last minute to announce my guests for next week. I think it might be a good time for you to give our listeners your website address and tell them how they might obtain your book.
Yes, well, the book, of course, is available on Amazon.com. It's available on our blog as well. If you go to if you go to drbradleynelson.com, that's drbradleynelson.com, we have recordings of some live sessions that we've done. We've got other radio interviews on there. We've got our event schedule. In fact, you're in the UK, are you not?
I am, yes.
We are actually coming to the UK. We're going to be in We're going to be in London in the middle of September. And if you go to our blog at drbradleynelson.com and you click on the events tab, we are going to be over there doing a seminar, and I can give you the exact date on that here in just a second. We're also going to be in Dublin, Ireland, and that will be, let's see here, let me just grab this really quick. Here we go. Okay, we're going to be at the London Heathrow Marriott on September 11th and 12th, 2009. And then on September 18th and 19th, we're going to be at the Regency Hotel in Dublin, in Ireland. So we're very, very excited about that. And again, if you go to drbradleynelson.com, click on the events tab, you can sign up for those seminars. So that's where we spend a day and a half actually teaching you how to do this and really making an expert out of you. And a lot of people, too, for a lot of people, we teach you how you can become certified. And then you can actually do this work and make a living doing it. And we have more and more people now all the time who are doing this, helping other people, making a living, and that's a very exciting thing as well. It's a lot of fun.
That's wonderful, yes. Thank you very much for that information. I can give you literally about half a minute if you have a final message for our listeners.
Well, I guess the final message would be if you look at your own life, if you've got pain or malfunction or if you've been diagnosed with some kind of a disease, I can just about guarantee that there are trapped emotions at the root of all of those problems. If you're having trouble falling in love or staying in love, if you seem to choose the wrong mate over and over, if you're having difficulty succeeding in your life or you're having a hard time creating the kind of life that you want, this is where you need to look. This is the state of the art. It is the absolute cutting edge in energy medicine. There isn't anything that's faster or more effective than this that's available in the world right now. This is it. So I do hope that you will seriously take a look at this. Get the book, read the book, come to the seminar, and start changing your life for the better and the lives of those around you. I appreciate the opportunity to get the word out about this, Mike. Thank you very much.
You've been very welcome. You're an excellent speaker. I would say you're very inspired spiritually. You obviously know a lot more than you've mentioned in the program. And indeed, I had a lot more questions. It's never mind. It's been terrific. Thank you very much for coming onto the program. I'll quickly announce next week's guest, who is Nancy Wallace. And she is the author of a book which she self-published called Raised by Angels. And she tells us that the information that the book covers was provided through channeling by angels. The object is to help others to rise to a higher consciousness. So thank you for being with me today. I do hope you can make it next week. It's been an excellent program. Thanks again, Dr. Bradley Nelson. God bless you all. Thank you.